Blog Talk.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and also my co-host, Elder David Clifton and Elder Ryan Fountain. It's good for us to be here. We thank God that we're here today to bring you more of the enriched Word of God. Knowing we got to have the Word. We cannot make it without the Word of God. It's good that we're able to expound upon the Word of the Lord. And at this time, my food for thought on the day, before I do that, I want to make sure that I give you all the call-in number. And our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. Then we also like to say welcome to all of my Facebook fans that are listening to this talk radio show at this time. And also, those of you that would want to email us, you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And we're just glad to be able to be here. And as the Lord Himself said, and you shall know the truth, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. St. John 8:32. And he went on to say, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, my food for thought on today is taken out of Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We know this is a pastoral epistle that Apostle Paul had written to Titus. But the point that I wanted to bring out about the grace of God, and the grace of God is not a license to sin, as some would want to say. You get all the grace, he'll give you all the grace that you need. But it teaches us that denial of ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So if you keep practicing sin, you're a sinner. That's what the Bible said, that the devil sinned from the beginning. So we don't want to be caught in that category.
Praise the Lord. Just briefly want to read out of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23rd chapter, beginning at verse 25, and it reads as follows. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name, by their dreams which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord? and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, said the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, said the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I simply want to encourage you all to be careful who you allow to prophesy in your life, because they may not have been sent from the Lord. Amen.
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 My food for thought comes out of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, starting at the 9th verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some man count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, or day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. And I just want to say that there is going to be a second coming of the Lord. That is what we are looking for. That's what we're looking towards. As Elder Cannon said, the appearing of Jesus Christ is our hope. That is what our hope is. We are looking to be with him in the clouds, in the air, in the heavens, forever and ever, for eternity. And that's what we should be looking for. That's why we should put on a holy conversation. That's why we should have holy behavior. It's because our hope is in him. And we are given grace not to continue to sin, but we are given grace to get out of sin. That's what the grace is for. It's so that we can get out of sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. He did us a favor by taking our place. Like someone said, that the Lord paid a debt that he didn't owe. We owed a debt that we couldn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank God for that. So we've been going through the book of Acts, and we have journeyed on through a couple of missionary journeys. We ended up all the way in the 19th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and trying to give you understanding of what the word of the Lord say, going by verse, word by word. So at this time, we're going to give you into the hands as we continue in the 19th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and into the hand of our historian, Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to, before we get on into the 19th chapter, I want to just go back real quickly. We start 18th chapter is when Paul starts his third missionary journey. And when we started it last week, I did not give the specs on exactly what happened in that missionary journey. That missionary journey lasted about 5 years, and he traveled. It was pretty much the same cities that he traveled in the second one, in the second missionary journey, but he went back through cities a few times. So there's a whole lot more ground covered, where in the second journey, about 3,500 miles were covered. In this third journey, it's more upwards of about 4,000 miles, I believe. And so this is, again, I just want to point this out, showing the dedication of Paul to the ministry, and that he spent all his time in ministry and going forth in ministry. So that being said, we can move back on. We don't have to rehash all through that the beginnings of that journey. We are now in the city of Ephesus, I believe, where Paul has converted some disciples that were preached to by none other than Apollos, where Apollos had to receive the truth more perfectly. So did these disciples that Paul met in Ephesus It says there was upwards of about 12 of them that had nothing but the baptism in John's name, the baptism of repentance. So Paul had to rebaptize these men in the name of Jesus, because that is how your sins are remitted. The name of Jesus applies the blood of Jesus to you, and where there's blood, there's remission. If you have no blood, there is no remission. That's in the book of Hebrews, I believe, the 9th chapter. So these men had to be rebaptized. They had to receive the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. It says that in the sixth verse, it says, Paul laid his hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues and prophesying. And he continued on in this city, and we're going to pick it up in verse 11. It says that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I just wanted to rehash on this, that these are special miracles brought by Paul, and it was exclusive to Paul.
Yeah.
Now, we know that Peter, we talked about earlier, he walked through the streets, and just the touch of his shadow on the, they were hoping that just the touch of his shadow that they'd be healed, but this is not the same manner that Paul did. Paul was given handkerchiefs, and these people were healed, actual healing, not fake television healing, where they look like they're healed for a moment, but then after service, they're in just as much pain, if not more pain, than they were. This is actual healing going on, and spirits being cast out. And that's one thing I don't see a lot of on TV, is spirits being cast out, because, quite frankly, they don't have the special miracles that Paul had. It's not an encompassing thing for the body of Christ. This was special miracles done by Paul. And it shows that in the next few verses that there's going to be men that try to mimic what Paul did and mimic what Paul was doing, and they received a fate that was not the same as Paul. As we read on in the 13th verse, it says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." This wasn't them preaching Jesus. They preached the same Jesus that Paul preached. They didn't have what Paul had, though. They did not believe in the Lord Jesus for salvation. They just believed in doing miracles and casting out demons. They were doing it for money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're called vagabonds. They were not of true Jewish religion. They didn't follow after the Jewish religion as others did, but they were looking to profit off of this. There's many sects within Christianity that are just looking to profit off of the name of Jesus. And this is exactly what these men were doing. Reading on in the 14th verse, it says, "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so." These are some of these vagabonds. "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Now, Jesus, they knew Jesus, of course, because in the book of James, is it the first chapter? First chapter of
2 and 19.
Is it 2 and 19?
No,
sir.
Yeah.
Chapter
Devil
2.
Devil believe in truth.
Yeah.
2 and 19.
Let me read that. 2 and 19. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble."
Yes.
So the devils knew that there was one God. The devils believe in one God. They knew Jesus was that God. The ones that called themselves Legion said, are you come to torment us before our time? See, they knew the order of God. They knew who Jesus was when they saw him, and they knew he was the anointed one. He was God manifest in the flesh, and they knew that their time was at the end of the millennium reign when they get cast into the lake of fire, but they thought they were getting tormented before that time. They thought they were getting judged before that time. So they knew who Jesus was. They knew who Paul was because Paul preached Jesus by faith. Paul was an anointed preacher, an apostle that preached the Lord Jesus Christ and was building the foundation of the church, establishing new churches throughout the regions where he went to. But they did not know these men because these men were not preaching Jesus by faith. They were preaching Jesus for gain. They were preaching Jesus in order to make merchandise of the people, as 2 Peter says. They're looking to make merchandise of you. They're after filthy lucre. So they weren't preaching Jesus by faith. They were preaching Jesus for money. And this was their downfall because you can't use the name of Jesus in just any old situation. Because you have to use the name of Jesus by faith. That's how the name of Jesus is applied, is by faith. Amen?
And if I could add, you also have to have the authority to use that name. And that's another thing that they didn't have, these men. They didn't have the authority to call upon that name. If you remember when Jesus was speaking to those evil ones, he told them to depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And their reply was, well, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Mm-hmm. Didn't we heal and sick in your name? What they were saying is, we used your name.
Mm-hmm.
They may have not have preached. I shouldn't say they may not. They didn't use that name to preach salvation, but they tried to use the power for that name, as Elder Fountain said, for gain. So this almost coincides with what I was reading in Jeremiah earlier, where you have these men, they're having these services and they're prophesying, and they're prophesying by the name of Jesus. And the sad thing I do believe about this is the devils recognize and know who has the authority and when God is speaking, but some of the saints, we're struggling to know if, you know, when someone's speaking, is that God, or is that this come out of this own man's mind, or is this the enemy speaking? So it kind of shows, I guess you could say, a lack of power or a lack of knowledge that the church has to recognize who has the authority to speak in the name of Jesus and when that person is speaking is actually being inspired by the Holy Ghost. Elder Kendrick.
Right, yeah, we may be mocked, but God's not going to be mocked. And what he was saying in Matthew, he said, many will say, Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, they're going to say it. This is what he said. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Question. And in thy name cast out devils? Question. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So these people are just marking what they saw. Because if I'm going to cast a devil out, I don't need to say in the name of who Hayward preach or who Paddock preach.
Uh-huh.
I can say in the name of Jesus and not in the name of who I preach.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I could just say in the name of Jesus, you demon, come out of him.
Amen.
So that shows you, you know, they weren't right in the first place right there. You can't. You're going to borrow him from Apostle Paul. And so, and I believe, just like someone else said, our name ought to be known in hell. We should be tearing down Satan's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a reputation among the devils.
Yeah.
Don't bother him.
And we make sure our reputation is of noteworthy cause.
Yeah.
And not,
we gotta
not of just as a joke.
Right.
And because there's a lot of people that don't take the truth seriously. There's a lot of people that don't take apostolic seriously because they put a certain label on us,
mm-hmm.
and there's certain people that are seen as representing us,
yeah.
that are not truly representing us.
Right.
But the devils know who is real, who has the authority, because when you have the authority, you have the signals of the authority. You have the marks of authority on you. When you are marked with the name of Jesus, when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you actually have that mark on you. You actually are sealed by that name.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Joseph and also Daniel. They were given, when they were given authority, Joseph by Pharaoh and Daniel by the king, they were given authority by one having the ring, one having the chain, and the robe. So when they were presented before anybody, they knew that these men were in authority because they were given the objects of a king in order to use them.
Right.
So when you try to use these things improperly, if they tried to use the king's authority in any other aspect and did not have those garments on and did not have that seal upon them, they would not have been taken seriously.
You can liken that to some of those medieval films when a king would want to send a message to a city. If he wrote a message, he had that ring, he would seal it with that ring.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Put a seal on there. And the recipients of those letters would know this is of the king because they saw that mark on there.
Right.
And that is what Elder Finder is saying, that we should have that same seal. Mark says that sign should be following those that believe in.
Right.
And we've kind of reversed that to where people are now following after signs instead of the signs following after us. So it's a lot of things that the church is doing. It's backwards, and one of those reasons is because we're operating on our own thoughts and in our own ways. And one of the things that we're doing here, revisiting the Book of Acts, as we keep saying, is we want to help you all get back on track to doing things the Bible way. Amen.
Right. Yeah. And this goes against the grain, and that's why some people are ashamed. If they're ashamed of the name of Jesus. I mean, there's times when you got to speak and say what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my father in the gospel saying, if you believe it, you will say it. You know, so some people are ashamed to say that the Bible said that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. You know, and Apostle Paul was making that quote. He was talking to the church at Ephesus,
mm-hmm.
the people that were already saved. I mean, maybe there were some there that didn't have it, but the majority of people he was talking to that heard the message, what he was talking about. So we shouldn't be ashamed. So we come down. So what we're doing is we're going through the book saying the apostles' doctrine, the apostles whom the Lord Jesus himself chose, we're tearing down Satan's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we're building up the kingdom of God.
Because
everything that's not, and we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So that's what we're talking about, is what the word of the Lord says. So you can't talk about the name of Jesus if you don't have it. The devil knows, you know, that there, like we said, that there's one God. And when Jesus came on the scene, they say, we know thee who thou art. Thou the Holy One of God.
Yes.
Jesus told them to hold their peace. As we would say, he said, shut up. As we would put it, and come out of him. You know, he didn't have to say in the name of Jesus, because he was the name.
Amen,
yeah.
Amen.
So now, these men went before this spirit and tried to cast him out. And he said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? The Lord was not on these men's side. Paul, the Lord was on his own side. The Lord was on Paul's side, but he was not on the side of these men. And that is how devils are cast out, if the Lord is behind you.
Yeah.
They know the power that is behind you.
Yeah.
So now, what happened to these men? Verse number 16, it says, And the man who in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So this was one man with a devil inside of him,
right,
whooping on seven other men. So now, you know that the devil has some power,
yeah,
not as much power as God,
right,
but they have power against this flesh.
Right.
And that there's no flesh that can come just against the devil. That's why you should get on the Lord's side now before the rapture of the church and before you have to deal with the Antichrist, because there's no flesh that's going to be able to prevail against them.
Mm-hmm.
It says that he's going to wear out the saints, and those are the saints of the tribulation period.
Right.
He is actually going to have power over them because the Spirit of God is not going to be in that land in that day. There's going to be judgments rained upon the land by God, but this man is going to have power and authority over all men.
Right.
And they're going to have to be subject to them, subject to this man, or they're going to die and be beheaded.
Yes.
So, my pastor, one of his favorite quotes is, how are you going to run with the horsemen in the time of war, and you cannot walk with the footmen in the time of peace?
Right, it's in the book of Jeremiah.
So,
yeah.
This is exactly what's going on. This is one man, one spirit, going against seven men and beating them naked and making them flee out of this house.
Yeah. Let me say this. This kind of goes along with what you're saying here. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, and that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this is what he's talking about. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And he goes on, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. So we know the church is hindering the devil. People think that the devil and demons are on the rampage now. You haven't seen nothing yet. You don't want to miss the appearing or the rapture of the church, because that demon is going to be loose to do whatever he will.
Because the Antichrist will come in, and just as he read in there, the mystery of iniquity will be revealed.
Yes.
He will actually be worshipped as God for 3.5 years.
Yes.
He will be God on this earth for 3.5 years. That's a scary thought, because...
Yes.
Because God has all authority.
Yeah.
And he will have supreme authority for 3.5 years. He will have his time. So before you get caught up in that system, why not circumvent that and go and join the local body of Christ and be baptized and take on that name, and you will actually circumvent that. You will be raptured out of this earth, because we are the ones, as it says, he who letteth let. That means, that word letteth is an old English word that means to hinder.
Yeah.
We are hindering him from being revealed now. But when are we going to stop hindering him? When we are taken out of this earth, as it says in 1 Thessalonians, we will be caught up with the Lord to meet him in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be with him. So now, that is when we will be taken out of the way. That's when we will stop hindering the devil and the Antichrist to be revealed.
Right.
But once that happens, it is going to be a troublesome day for all men in that day. There's
yeah.
no more repentance in that day.
Right.
Because the name of Jesus, the Acts 2:38, will mean nothing in that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will no longer work. It's a wrong dispensation. Our dispensation will end at the time of the rapture.
Yeah, and you can see nowadays, your hope is not in the President of the United States or none of this, none of these men. I mean, folks are fighting against one another with immigration laws, Tea Party people, just all kinds of idiotic stuff, working across the aisle. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm an Independent. I mean, you ain't nothing. And then you got politicians on TV say we don't need another politician. You think people are that stupid to not know what are you?
So the Lord, the government is going to be upon his shoulder when he
yes.
comes back to reign those 1,000 years.
And that's a very good point. Our hope is not in Obama. Our hope is not in Joe Biden. Our hope is not in Sarah Palin.
Right.
Our hope was not in George Bush. It was not in John McCain. It's not in any of these men.
Right.
Our hope is in Jesus Christ and his appearing for us.
Yeah.
That is what our hope should be. That's what you should be looking for, is to be with the Lord. That is, we want to draw nigh unto him. We want to get closer and closer unto him every day of our lives until the day that he calls us to be with him face to face, and we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter. This is our hope, that we shall be like him in his appearance.
Yeah.
And that is what we should be looking for. That's why we're preaching the book of Acts unto you now, is that he's calling all men unto repentance, as he told the Athenians. He's calling all men.
Yes.
All their sins, he overlooked all the sins, as long as you get them remitted. He's giving you a chance to remit your sins,
uh-huh.
to get your sins blotted out, to get your sins taken away,
yeah.
to get your sins washed away. Through this baptism in his name, he is giving you a chance to receive life, eternal life,
uh-huh.
to receive the earnest of your inheritance in the Holy Ghost. This is what the Holy Ghost is for, is to have the Spirit of God within you, guiding you, to be a comforter to you, and to give you a piece of eternal life so that you may have the seal of the Holy Ghost upon you, that you may know when he calls, that you will hear him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And the powerful thing about that is, as Minister Fountain read in Peter's epistle, that it is not God's will for men to be destroyed,
that
they should be perished. So, you know, when you flash forward to when he's going to be binding men up and casting them into hell, you have to understand that was never his will. We understand and know that hell was made for the devil and those wicked angels
right.
that followed after Satan. And Isaiah said that hell hath enlarged herself.
Yeah.
It enlarged itself because of the evil of men. But yet and still, God is still having mercy and grace reign on the earth at this time. And this is the message that preachers should be preaching, is to repent and to have your sins washed away and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is our obligation to relay this message of hope to mankind so that you can live with God for eternity. So whether or not you want to listen to us does not negate the fact that this is truth. It's going to happen anyhow. So, you know, it's kind of like people, they smoke cigarettes, and on the side it tells you, you know, if you smoke these, a surgeon general has a responsibility to tell you that you can and may get cancer. We see people still smoking every day. Does that mean the message is not true? No, it doesn't. It just means that they don't believe it.
Right.
But it's still our responsibility to do what we're doing, and that is to try to save you through our words from that eternal damnation. Amen?
Yes, because one day we're not going to be here. Like any time, when the Lord makes the shout, if the Lord come back before next week, you just can hear the on-demand messages, because we will be gone.
Amen.
We won't be live.
Amen.
Amen. So we have kind of got sidetracked now, but we can get right back on. Moving on, so we know these men did not have the power of Jesus behind them. They were cast out of this house, and this event was known, and it says, this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And the fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified.
Mm-hmm.
And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
Yeah.
So now we see that these men, the town of Ephesus, again, as we'll read on, their chief goddess was Diana. Diana was the goddess of the earth and the bringing of the seasons. This is the goddess, this is the main goddess that was worshipped there. So there was many, again, it was that whole, it's the same spirit that is in this earth today for green earth. That same movement that is moving along and looking to recycle and turn everything green. That is that same mentality, that is same thinking that we should take care of our Mother Earth. Diana is the Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. So now, another point I want to make is that there is a lot of money in false worship. All these books that were burned, mm-hmm. 50,000 pieces of silver was a lot of money in that day. Now, it wasn't just one man throwing this in the fire. It was a collective of men and women that were throwing their belongings into the fire because they no longer had a need for them. There was no longer a need for curious eyes when you have the name of Jesus. There's no longer a need for paganism or false worship when you have the truth. When you have the name of Jesus, it supersedes all of that. So now, this is how the word grew mightily and prevailed. That message grew and grew to more men, and everybody that heard it came in fear of it because there was deeds being and lives being changed by this message. I believe it was in the a few previous chapters when they took up Jason. They said these men turned the world upside down. This is what this message is supposed to do. This is supposed to turn your world completely upside down and reverse the thinking that you had once. That's what repentance should make you do. You should be headed in one direction, and when you hear a message and calls you to repentance, you should turn and do a complete 180 and turn around and go the complete opposite direction, because the direction you were going in was wrong. The direction you were going in was not getting you to the right destination. But when you are called to repentance, you are turned and maneuvered in the right way. Mm-hmm. And this is what this message is supposed to do. It's supposed to turn your world upside down. And so as we read on, it says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, because these craftsmen would come unto him for his silver and want him to make objects of Diana. That is was his craft, is making idols. Mm-hmm. That was what he did. And when he saw that these idols were no longer being utilized, that takes a major chunk out of his profits. So now he has to do something about this. Reading on, it says, whom he called together with the workmen of the like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Mm. And these men, first of all, if you read the order which he presented his argument, shows that he has his money before his religion and his worship.
Right.
He didn't really care too much about Diana being despised. He cared about his prophets being a chunk taken out of them. And this message was taking a chunk out of his profits. And it says, this is how we gained our wealth. This wasn't just our living. This wasn't just us getting by. These were wealthy men.
Yeah.
They made a lot of money because everybody in that region would come to them to make their idols. And they would set their idols up in their house, and that idol was supposed to bring them peace and good luck throughout the year. And so when this was taken away, this whole business, this whole industry was being taken out. So now that was their major problem. It wasn't about Diana, because this happened to all the apostles. This is why they were persecuted so much in the region, is because there were many different gods in many different regions. It was believed that Matthew went and down into Ethiopia, and when you go down into Africa, there's many different types of worships going on there. I believe Thomas went into India. There's many different worships going on there, through Hinduism, through Buddhism. Even Islam has now stretched that far there. So now there was many different gods being worshipped, and when you bring a message that say that the gods that you are worshipping are not truly gods, that there is a supreme God that you should be worshipping, the creator of all mankind, the creator of the earth itself, then they have a problem with that, because that is how they make their living, that is how they make their money. And they have a problem with, not with the worship being taken away, but with the money being taken away.
Right.
If you want to mess with anybody, you take away their money.
Right.
So, this is where the uprising began. And it says, when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. Now, that is a key word, because the devil works in confusion,
yeah.
Right? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order, because God is a God of order, and
not
he works in order.
Right.
He's not the author of confusion. And that's where I was going with in James. He's not the
right.
author of confusion, because all of that is devilish and sensual.
Right.
I believe Elder Cannon's bringing up that scripture now. So this is where that uprising, this is where the devil now gets his place within this uprising,
mm-hmm.
is because there's a whole lot of confusion going on. And when you bring confusion into the arena, that's when the devil starts working. Do you have that scripture, Elder Cannon?
No,
I believe it's James.
And it's also, if we can note, you can see that this confusion came right after the works of God had been manifest. So a lot of times you see nowadays when baby saints come in, fresh or newborn saints, when they come in, after they receive salvation, the enemy will come in immediately or right after and try to confuse the mind of that person. So we see how quick... and how I guess you could say how good the devil is, if I can say that, because he comes in right away, and he came right into this city again right away,
mm-hmm.
and stirred up confusion. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, and I have that scripture, James the 3rd chapter.
15.
Well, let me start at the 14th verse. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish.
Mm-hmm.
For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But it goes on to say, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So now, that is the two differences between devilish wisdom and godly wisdom.
Yeah.
Devilish wisdom thrives in confusion and envying and strife. This is all three things are alive and present in this situation. So now, as we go on in verse 29, the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Erasticus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. Paul wanted to go after these men because these were his brothers. These were the men that he brought with him from Macedonia, which is where Corinth was. So these men were Corinthians, and they were taken. And it says in verse 31, and certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Man, people will just follow a crowd. They don't even have to know the reason why they're with that crowd. They could be doing anything. They could be it could be straight devil worship, and it could be a crowd of people walking through worshiping the devil, and they will gather a bigger crowd with them because people just have a tendency to follow crowds. People are sheep, and they will follow the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It is just simple psychology there, that people are attracted to crowds, and they will follow, and they don't even know why they're following. They just follow because.
Right.
It's a comfort thing. So, verse 33, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of Ephesus of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. These men we're not taking out of this word churches is not speaking of the church of God, but rather the church of Diana,
right.
the worshipers of Diana. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them implead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. So what he simply said was that these men were not speaking directly against Diana. They're preaching Jesus Christ. They have no need to speak against Diana.
Right.
The power of God convicted the men's hearts that they preached to Jesus, and they themselves, of their own accord, took the things that they had, that they possessed, that were of Diana and of all these false gods and of curious arts, and burned them. Gaius and Erasticus didn't tell them to burn it. Paul didn't tell them to burn it.
Right.
These men did it of their own accord because they realized the power that was in the name of Jesus, and they realized that the power that was given unto them by the Holy Ghost through the words of Paul speaking of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, you don't see where Paul spoke against Diana. You don't see where
right.
Paul spoke against all these gods. In fact, when he went into Athens, as we spoke on a few weeks ago, he spoke of the unknown God.
Mm-hmm.
He preached unto them out of their own wisdom,
mm-hmm.
because they were worshiping God in an unprescribed and an unknown manner. So this is the approach that he took of them. He did not go up there and say that you are worshiping false gods, you are you are sinners, you are pagans, because you would not win anybody like that.
Right, right.
He went in there and simply preached Jesus unto them and preached the salvation that is within him. So this is simply what this man was saying, that they did not preach, they were not speaking against Diana, that these men built up this uproar, they built up this riot because their money was being taken away. And if
right.
they have a problem with it, they can bring it before the court of law. And no court of law would have heard their case. They knew this. But they knew, the devil knows that if you get people in an uproar, if you get people confused, if you get people all riled up, that action will be taken. And usually it's the action of a violent kind.
Right.
And they knew that violently that these men would be taken out. And that was their hope.
Right. And then, like nowadays, we don't have to name out stuff, but we can if we want to. And that is, I thought when you were talking about their craft being put in jeopardy, I thought about Philip Morris and then that other cigarette company. They don't want people to quit smoking because they'll go out of business. You can go to Canada. I went to Canada one time with my brother, and I saw tobacco all laid out. I never saw that like that before. But then the liquor store and the lottery tickets and all that stuff, the devil know if you sure enough get saved, you're through with them.
Yeah,
and that's why he's mad, and along with the other stuff, too. All depend on what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause I don't have no problem. I wasn't a gambler, no way. But some people, they got casinos and all this stuff. They got a problem with all that kind of stuff. But you get saved, you'll be free from all of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And it just goes to show that that's what the preaching and the teaching of the gospel should do. It should have the full power to deliver anyone from any and all type of sins, not
yeah.
just some.
Right.
And that process, in my opinion, and you brothers can chime in, it should happen immediately. Now,
yeah.
we know that there's some things people may struggle with, but deliverance as far as coming out of sin
yeah.
should not be a process. One of those reasons that I think some are teaching it should be a process is because those preachers are partaking in certain things, and because they're not coming out of it or they're still doing it, they're not going to teach and preach against those things. But once you fully open up, all aspects and all areas of the gospel, people will begin to put down certain things. One of the things or one of the messages that I think is kind of prevalent, at least in this area, we hear a lot of people talking about this brother that's teaching and preaching against rap music. You have some that their heart is still in that, so they would try to make excuses as to why it's okay for them to stay in that. I know from my personal experience, after I got saved, I felt trouble in my heart when I still had that type of music in my possession. So what did I do? I pulled up to a garbage dumpster and did just like these people did with these magical books. I didn't burn them, but I threw them away. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That is what conviction will do for a person.
Yeah.
It will get them to the process where they want to be fully delivered. One of the reasons that we're lacking this power is because we are living in the age of Laodicea, where the church is lukewarm. So we're, some of us are unaware of our state. But still, the preacher should be able to preach and let the church know what state that they are in, so that we can wake up. Because after Jesus spoke about the church of Laodicea, he again told us to repent, which means that he still gave that church a chance to come clean. So, that is something that we should also see from this story. Yes, these men are going to get mad, and there's going to be people nowadays that get mad and don't like the preaching of the gospel, and they'll take it personal. Homosexuals are mad at the church because they think the church is singling them out and just them out. It's not that we're just singling you just out, but if sin is sin, and we have to point it all out. It's not a personal attack against any group. It's the sin. It's not the people.
Right.
It's the sin. And that's what these men, they took it personal, as though Paul was, especially trying to single them out and take money out of their pockets. That wasn't his message. His message was simply to show and to preach about Jesus Christ and what he can do for people. Amen?
Right, right. And all unrighteousness is sin. So there's no such thing as a category of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks are still lying, trying to cover up the stuff that they're doing. They need to come clean. So that's why the Bible said, talking about Jesus' blood, says that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Yeah.
So that's what the devil don't want you to do, is to realize that you got a problem. Even after you got saved, you got a problem, you need to name it out, not try to cover it up. Because God is a master at uncovering folks. And you keep doing, folks keep doing that dirt, it doesn't matter what your title is, you're going to get uncovered. Well, I say the only shame you might not have to bear, if the Lord come, you would miss the rapture. So you'll still be shamed. You can just go tell everybody you missed the rapture.
Amen.
So you might as well do right. I mean, you got a problem, we can get help. That's the whole point. As people of God, even if we mess up, like some say, if you mess up, don't run from God, run to him.
Yeah.
Acknowledge your sin. You know, David the king, he always knew that there was one God. He worshiped one God. He messed up. But after the man of God confronted him about a year later, he didn't do that no more.
Man, he got it straight.
He had to reap what he sowed. Yeah, he reaped what he sowed.
he
knew, and he said, his last words before he died, King David says that he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God.
Yeah.
We got folks nowadays, they're not ruling in the fear of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So,
so we left off.
On that, we will close. We've closed out the 19th chapter. We'll go on next week, speaking in the 20th chapter. This is Paul continuing on his third missionary journey. He will finish up the missionary journey in the 21st chapter. But I just want to finish off by saying that you must hear the word of God. You must hear what we are preaching, that there is a reason why we're preaching this. There's a reason why we're going through this book. And that is, again, a tool to call all men unto repentance, to see that where salvation is in the Bible, in the New Testament. Salvation is within the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Salvation is not within the Gospels. That is where salvation was first presented. That's where God called you out of the world. Acts is where he actually brings you out of the world. The epistles is where he keeps you out of the world. That is instructions unto churches. And the book of Revelation is where he takes you out of the world, where he actually takes the church up into heaven with him as the bride of Christ. We marry the Lord Jesus Christ, 19th chapter, and we will return with him in his second coming.
Amen.
So the reason why we're preaching this message unto you is that you may receive salvation, that you may receive remission of sins, that you may receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And it is our heart's desire that all men that hear this broadcast be saved. Taking a play on words from Paul out of the book of Romans, he said, I pray that it is my heart's desire that all men of Israel be saved. That was his desire. It is my desire that all men that hear this broadcast be saved and live up to the standards of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Yeah, everything that we said is, I mean, like I said, I thought about that. You know, like, man, because of what they could do. If they, Philip Morris and what's the name of that other company? It's a couple of them. They don't want folks to quit smoking.
Parker. No, not Parker.
Philip Morris and it's another one. But anyway, they don't want people to quit smoking because they could make the warning bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just put it on there because they have to.
Exactly. Exactly. They don't want you to quit.
They put those
and they're supposed to be working with people to help you quit.
Yeah. They put those advertisers out there just to appease the government.
Exactly.
To keep them off their back.
Mm-hmm. They don't want you to quit.
Yeah. As many advertisements as they put